Mohammed Musa sits at his desk, hunched over registration forms, ringing in payments on a cash register. He looks like any other revenue clerk in this provincial government office, except that he's in a wheelchair. Mohammed is a paraplegic. He lost the use of his legs in a car accident in his native Somalia. Mohammed is also a refugee. He fled Somalia in 1989 to escape government persecution of his family.
I took my family from my country to seek, you know, a safe place. When you run, where is no law, no order, no government, then you thought you are coming in a country where you can find all this.
But Musa didn't find all this. His wife and two daughters were accepted as permanent residents. But despite a steady job and a degree in economics, Musa has been denied permanent resident status, all because of his disability.
I don't know where I have to go and ask help, you know, even to get my papers. You know. The only problem I have is I can't use my legs.
For now, Mohammed is in Canada on a minister's permit, a temporary arrangement that must be renewed in 1996. But after October, the rules may change. The government plans to assess disabled immigrants by measuring how much it will cost Canada to care for their disability. If the cost to health care and social services is deemed to be more than the Canadian average, about $12,500 every 5 years, they won't be allowed in. So, in Mohammed's case, immigration officials will set a cost for paraplegics like him. If that cost is more than $12,500, then Mohammed and others like him cannot immigrate to Canada. Anne Malloy is Mohammed's lawyer. She says the new regulation is blatant discrimination against the disabled.
My own view of it would be that this person will not be a penny over the average. Do I have any faith that that's the way they're going to actually structure the scheme for someone who's paraplegic? No.
Malloy is worried that applicants like Mohammed will be refused admission simply based on their disability's cost to health and social services. Dr. Neil Haywood is Director of Medical Programs Development for Immigration and Citizenship Canada. He says a person's medical costs are a primary factor in the approval process, and individual attributes, like education and job skills, are secondary.
The proposed regulation quite clearly is a cost base. It is absolutely a cost-based approach. A dollar over the threshold represents excess demand, and therefore the person would, on medical grounds, be denied admission.
The excess of demand model leaves no room for another reality. Mohammed lives with his family. Regardless of the type of disability, many cultures do not place their disabled in institutions. Mendel Green, an immigration lawyer for 35 years, says culture can't be ignored.
Some compassion and understanding of culture has to be brought into play. For example, I presently have a case of two handicapped twins from India who are being prohibited from joining their family in Canada because of their handicap. We have evidence that they are in fact trainable. Now the government is saying, well, if Canadians have to train them when they get here, that's not fair to us. And I agree with that proposition. But in the culture of the Indian community, handicapped and disabled people are not treated like we Western people treat them. In the Indian culture, a handicapped child is considered a special child, and a child that deserves more love and affection and attention than a normal child. And their families will care for them, and they will not do, regretfully, as many Canadians do, foist them off on public services, put them in homes for the handicapped.
Dr. Haywood's team has met with lawyers and disability rights groups to discuss the regulation before it becomes law. He says culture is irrelevant.
We do not take into consideration whether culturally an individual is likely to actually receive home care, because I think there is evidence that in being assimilated into Canadian society, people will use Canadian services.
Mohammed Musa has lost all hope. He plans to continue working and to avoid welfare. He thought Canada would accept him and allow him to start a new life, but his experience has left him jaded.
I never expected from the Canadian government. This is civilized society. I never expected, you know, discrimination between, you know, human beings. I expect, you know, to be treated as human beings.
All Mohammed can hope for now is that his type of paralysis won't run over the limit. If it does, he may be deported and separated from his family. For Mohammed, the waiting continues. In Toronto, I'm Lisa Cherry.